Hey, I'm Anjali, and I watch a lot of TV. I'm hosting a television review podcast called Anjali Vision, and it'll air every other week through the Trident Network. I'll have interesting guests each episode to answer important questions like, how quickly would you resort to cannibalism in different post-apocalyptic TV show scenarios? And who's the best daddy on TV right now?
Thanks for sticking up for me. I'm really sorry about how it turned out.
Please don't tell me I look as ridiculous as you do.
It's not that bad, really. That's a nice red on you. I'm Charlie Tuttle.
Virgil Fox.
Nice to meet you.
So what's the story with that rocket cart thing?
Well, I always get a hard time on the bus, so I hypothesized that a rocket propulsion all-terrain cart would help me avoid embarrassment.
And how's that going for you? Because we're currently hung on top of a ram statue. That's where this cold open takes place. Hey, Val.
Hey, Al.
Welcome to D Commentaries.
Thank you. Welcome to you and welcome to our listeners. Today, we're talking about Minutemen.
Woohoo! This was a fun one.
It was fun. It felt a lot like the DComs of yore.
It did. And it looked like one, too. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like that comeback where it's like, yeah, I know I am.
And you've been, and you look like one too.
Yeah, you look like, that's what it is. You look like one too. None of those words made sense, but to us.
We get it.
We get it. It really felt like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They went from High School Musical 2, lots of money, to Minutemen.
Well,
minuscule money.
Yeah, and Twitches 2 was in the middle there.
Oh, God. I'm trying to forget that was made.
Oh, yeah. Well, since Minutemen is all about time, let's act like time is of the essence.
Good segue, Val.
Thank you. It is time for the business.
Okay.
Minutemen came out January 25th, 2008.
Wow.
So we're officially
sophomore year of high school.
I had just gotten to London for my study abroad program.
Whoa, Val, that's mm-hmm. so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wasn't even a sophomore yet. That was just the second half of freshman year. Still a little freshman.
Little baby high school. Mm-hmm. Clarifying, by the way, that she's talking about high school and I was in college. Just so everyone knows.
Val, okay. You're so young.
I look so young.
You look so young.
All right. Minutemen was directed by Lev Spiro.
Just a name.
Which is a name. And he's like a pretty prolific TV director. Like he's done lots of shows.
Oh.
But some that he did multiple episodes on were Cousin Skeeter, Arrested Development, Weeds, Everybody Hates Chris, and Unreal.
Cool. That's a good
smattering.
That's a good word. Yeah. Too.
And there were a lot more. Those are just some examples.
Yeah.
It was written by three folks.
Okay.
John Killerin, who only wrote two other things, at least that were on IMDb.
Were they DComs?
No.
They were just like other stuff.
They were things I'd never heard of. Okay. Yeah. And then David Diamond and David Weissman. Mm. Who seem to be an on again, off again writing team because they both wrote Old Dogs. Do you remember that movie with like Robin Williams?
Yes. And the only reason why I know that, I think, is because it was in trivia last week and we didn't know the answer, or we did know the answer. I don't think we knew the answer.
David Weissman also wrote a few other things that David Diamond did not. He wrote The Family Man, that Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh.
Evolution, which I also think Nicolas Cage was in. But both of them stopped writing, or at least their credits stopped in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. So not a huge resume on any of these writers.
Cool.
Okay. The cast is as follows.
We got some stars in this one.
We do. All right. Jason Dolley played Virgil Fox.
I put a picture of him in my diary when I was a kid. Ah!
He was cute in this.
He's so cute.
I wrote at some point, like, Jason Dolley is cute and charming.
Yep. He is.
He didn't get as much to do in Read It and Weep. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad I got to see him play a different kind of character in this, because he's a lot more like in Read It and Weep, he's kind of serious and he's kind of like a wet blanket.
Yeah.
In this, he's much more like fun and silly.
Fun and like actually acting.
Yes. Yes.
Compared to someone else that we'll mention in just a few moments. I think that he's a really good, solid actor in this.
Yeah, it feels effortless.
Yes.
Ugh. There's a lot.
Effortless.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this movie where it does not feel effortless. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's on them, on the directing, on the writing, on all three. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But definitely a lot of forcefulness from some people in this movie. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Jason Dolley was in some things, including, as we mentioned already, he was in Read It and Weep, another DCOM.
Yes.
He will be in Hatching Pete.
Yes.
Which is another DCOM. And Good Luck Charlie, which I also believe is a DCOM.
It's a show. And then they did a spinoff movie at some point. But he was the brother in the show. And the show is based off of like watching their like little sister grow up.
Oh, cool. OK.
And he's like one of the brothers.
He was also before that in Cory in the House.
Mm-hmm. He's his best friend.
Yeah, and his career started on a show called Complete Savages.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Which I presume was like a family show, and he played the like little
kid
or
something.
And he has
zero posts on Instagram right now. Oh. I've got a chance.
Come on, Jason. Get with the program. All right. Then we have Luke Benward as Charlie Tuttle, who, by the way, have you seen pictures of him now?
He is a smoke show.
I was like, holy crap.
He's not the same man.
He not only is he very hot, but he's also like really like built. Like he's like a thick, strong man.
Ooh,
and it's
thick.
Yeah. And it's so funny compared to what he is playing in this.
And you know
movie.
Who he's dating right now since 2020? Ariel Winter from Modern Family.
Whoa.
Yes.
Huh. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Luke Benward.
Yeah. Good job. You know where not so good of job.
In this movie?
In this movie.
He's overacting so much.
He's so overacting.
Oh, my God. And he's, like, younger than them, so, like, I'll give him a little bit of a pass, but he's
I guarantee
the
it was
lead.
The direction. Guarantee. Yeah, think, they were like, you're younger. You have to actually act younger.
Yeah, and you have to be, like, ridiculous because you're also, like, a genius and all these other things. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame him entirely for this. And he's a character actor. He's been in lots of stuff, but he some notables were he was in We Were Soldiers, Because of Winn-Dixie, Dear John, Good Luck Charlie as well, Girl Meets World, and a couple episodes of Criminal Minds.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas Braun played Zeke Thompson.
Now, what a sweet surprise. I forgot he was in a DCOM.
Many people would probably recognize him as cousin Greg from Succession, which it's wild because he's like already as tall and kind of
he's
looks
like literally
like he
6'3" and a half in this movie.
Yeah.
He so only like, grows like 2 more inches into Succession.
Right. Right. So it's like looking at cousin Greg like doing a DCOM, which
That's
is very
so funny.
Funny.
I looked it up. He was 20 in this.
Wow.
He's got such a baby face. He looks.
He does. He believably 20. Played a high schooler for sure. I mean, they were supposed to be seniors. So like, you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. So cousin Greg, Nicholas Braun was in Sky High.
Yes.
He was in the 10 Things I Hate About You show, which is interesting.
I forgot about that.
His introduction in this movie very much reminded me of the introduction of Heath Ledger's character in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Val, I literally wrote that down as a note. I literally wrote that down in my synopsis.
Like two nerds talking about how to approach the like
the
shop
guy who's
guy.
In the shop.
Yeah. So funny. He was also in something called Poor Paul. He was in Whiskey Tango Foxtrot with Tina Fey. Mm-hmm. And of course, Succession. So
he's also in How to Be Single, which is actually a really good rom-com.
Very cool. Yeah, he's been in lots of other stuff. That was just sort of a sampling of some of the things he's done. But most people would probably just recognize him from Succession.
Yeah. He has his own bar in New York now.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Good job.
Nicholas Braun.
Nicholas Braun.
Okay, then we have Chelsea...
I just wanted to do it for as long until you noticed. Okay, continue. I won't do it anymore.
It's okay. All right. So we have Chelsea Staub-Kane, So she's listed as Staub, I think, in like the old stuff, but her married name is Kane.
Mm, okay.
Played Stephanie Jameson. They're like friend. The girl, the friend slash
love interest.
Love interest. She was in Starstruck. She was on the show Jonas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was like her big thing that she was in. She was also in something called, she's a voice actor. So she did a bunch of stuff. But one example that she did a bunch of episodes on was a show called Fishhooks.
Yeah, that was big on Disney Channel, I think.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah.
she was also on the show Baby Daddy.
Yes. I'd looked up her IMDb too. Yes. That show was like pretty popular.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I remember.
Yeah, it was on ABC Family. Yeah. Or Freeform, formerly known as ABC Family.
We're old enough to know it as ABC Family. she was also in something called Hot Streets, and she was in a few episodes of 911.
I love that show. It's coming back on ABC now.
Ooh.
They moved from Fox. They got ABC money.
Why?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I don't know. Interesting. But I find it interesting because ABC also has Station 19.
Yeah, that's weird. But isn't Station 19 ending?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch it. I just watch Grey's Anatomy. 20 seasons later.
Yeah, I think Station 19 got nixed.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, that's why they have 911 now.
Right. I stopped watching all of those shows, so I don't know what's going on anymore. I just ran out of time, folks. Wow. Ran out of time.
There's your decision, people. Of, do you want to have a baby?
Or do it was before that.
Do you want to watch Grey's Anatomy or do you want to have a baby?
It was before
you
that.
Got
it
two
was
options.
It was more like, do you want to watch Grey's Anatomy or do you want to direct a show and coach improv?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
J.P. Manu played Vice Principal Tolkien.
Oh, yeah. I looked him up, too.
Which, fun fact about the name Tolkien, apparently that's the same name as the vice principal in Back to the Future.
Oh.
So they were paying homage since it was also a time travel movie.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm. So J.P. Manu is a very prolific character actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd probably recognize his face if you saw him. A few examples of things that he's been in are Galaxy Quest, Emperor's New Groove,
mm-hmm.
And all of their subsequent
TV shows, things,
the shows, the other movies, all that stuff. Ocean's 11.
Oh.
He was the voice of Scrappy and Scooby-Doo and all of their subsequent,
cool
things. He was in Knocked Up. He had a long stint on ER in the latter years, which I forgot about completely. He was on something called Aaron Stone. And more recently, he was on Veep.
Nice.
Okay. Stephen R. McQueen, not to be confused with Steve McQueen.
Or Lightning McQueen.
Or Lightning McQueen. Played Derek Beauregard. The names in this movie, my goodness. He was on Everwood, Chicago Fire, and Vampire Diaries.
Cool. Those I didn't recognize him from anything.
I recognized him from Chicago Fire.
Okay.
And probably Everwood, although it's been a very long time since I watched Everwood. Okay. Dexter Darden played Chester. The nerd turned fashion icon.
Yeah.
And he was in the movie Maze Runner, and he was also on the new Saved by the Bell show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize him initially, but then when I looked up his IMDb, I was like, oh, yep, that makes sense, because I did see all the Maze Runners.
Mm-hmm. Another person who was way overacting, and I know that it was direction in this case, because it's just so awful.
Yeah.
And Kelly Cockrell played Jocelyn, and you might have recognized her from Return to Halloween Town, where she played one of the twin villain sisters.
Fun. I did not recognize her. Cool.
That was her. Yeah. So that's the cast. The synopsis is as follows. Three high school kids invent a time machine intended to save fellow students from embarrassing situations. Unfortunately, they discover that turning back the clock can have its own consequences. Now the feds are after them, and there's a slight problem of a black hole to deal with.
Okay, that's true, but that's a lot of information. That's kind of spoiling the whole movie.
Yeah, that's the whole movie. Cool. Well, that's all I got.
Okay.
Well, and there's an Allie and AJ song.
There is an Allie and AJ song and a Corbin Blue song.
That's right. And a Corbin Blue song.
I Shazammed on my Snapchat. When the I did.
Nice. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, Al.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions of this film?
Thanks, Val. I don't remember processing this movie as a wee child. I definitely feel like I've seen it because I was a big Jason Dolly stan as a child and still to this day, even though he has zero posts on Instagram. I really liked this movie. I don't know. I thought it was fun. I started it last night and then was like sad that I got tired and had to like turn it off. And then I woke up this morning at 6:20 in the morning. So I did finish it this morning. And I'm going to give it a 6.
Great.
I think it's a good
movie. I agree with that.
Yeah. I don't think it deserves more than a 6, but I think it deserves a 6. Yeah. It was a good time.
Great.
Val, what are your first impressions?
Yeah, I liked it too. I think that it, for me, had kind of a similar problem as Stuck in the Suburbs, where if they had removed the silly over-the-topness from some of it, I would have liked it a lot more.
Right. Just like have it be your normal.
Right. Like you don't need like a whoop, 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 you know, like all the like weird sound effects and
the cat slapstick over the fence.
Comedy. Yeah. And like just people like running into walls and stuff. Like you don't need things like that. It's not Three Stooges. Like just make a normal teen movie with this exact same subject matter. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really great premise. It's a kid who had something really embarrassing happen to him literally on the first day of high school. And it has haunted him ever since. And it basically is like, what would you do if you could go back and change the one thing that sort of in your mind set yourself on this path?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, I that is a very relatable like thing.
Yeah. I think we all do that.
Absolutely.
Even as adults. Like,
yeah. And like the idea that he was sort of stuck being kind of a nerd when he didn't feel like one because of this thing. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people can connect with that. So like you don't need to have all this absolutely ridiculous crap around it to like sell that, you know, to teenagers. Like, I think that they would very
much sure.
Like, oh, yeah, I get this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I felt about it. I liked it. I really liked Jason Dolly's performance. I really liked Chelsea Kane's performance as as Stephanie. Mm-hmm. I think that she also played it more like subtle. And like Nicholas Braun is pretty good. Like he's kind of expected to play silly, but he kind of like.
But I also finds don't think they gave ground. Him enough.
No, they didn't give him enough. He was sort of like this stoic like guy who doesn't say much.
Yeah.
And he kind of got like lost a little bit behind Luc Benoit, who plays Charlie, like screaming
all
like
over
a
the place.
Small child. Right. Yeah. So like, but I think that they all, the three of them, Jason, Nicholas, and Chelsea, like had more regular performances, which like made this much easier to watch.
Yeah.
If it had just been like Charlie and that kid who played Chester and the vice principal, and like that was the energy of every single person in this movie, I would have like had to turn it off. Like it was too much. Mm-hmm. Also, the vice principal made me so angry this entire movie. Basically, this vice principal's purpose was literally to say, I'm not going to intervene because I'm not going to change the social order of the school. Like,
yeah.
He literally at one point says, I don't like that this nerd is now like higher social status than another person.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, first of all,
this would never happen anywhere.
Right. Like, who thinks that way? And secondly, who would say that out loud to their students, even if they did think that way?
Right.
Like, it was just so ridiculous. So like, this movie was kind of like fighting, had two sides of it kind of fighting each other a little bit. And I wish that it had just nixed the silly, ridiculous part of it and just went with the more straightforward part.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Al, did you have any favorite quotes or moments?
I did. I had a lot of favorite quotes.
Great.
Sorry, I'm like looking through. I liked that Charlie's cat was named Albert Felinstein.
Yeah.
Jason Dolly's sister comes in and she's getting kicked out. Mm. She goes, chill, I'm out of here. It's like I walked into an ugly contest.
I wrote that. She was my favorite character in the whole movie.
Yep. This line is very important, and I didn't realize it when I writ it down, but we will find out why. My boyfriend is a total cheese brain. Great line. People who don't let go of the past die faster and get more acne. Right here.
I love that too.
Right here. I'm breaking out. Next up, Funky Town. I love this movie. What's more important than being rich and popular? I'm kidding. Mostly. I just wish you and I could get back to how we used to be. Always chilling.
That's a good one.
Yep. Frickin' Charlie to the scientists. I knew you guys were underfunded, but come on. I still have two more. There's so many. They win something and it's don't let it go to your head. There's still time for a recount. And then this is Nicholas Braun. He goes, you'll be needing me too, sir. And my hook. Since a bit that he like takes his grappling hook everywhere. But yeah. And then, I feel like all of my favorite quotes were my favorite moments. I liked that they were, SHS. We are SHS. Shout out to my high school. Valerie, Val, are some of your favorite quotes and moments? I hope you put both in there.
I have to, because otherwise it won't make any sense that you're giggling. Oh my God. Okay. So probably one of my favorite moments is right at the beginning. Like, so there's this literal cold open and then it goes 3 years later.
Uh-huh.
And Allie won't necessarily know this, but in Avengers Endgame.
Oh, I won't know this.
Which is also a time travel movie. There is a cold open and then a screen that says 5 years later, which I guess is a spoiler, but whatever. It's like been 10 years. I just thought that was so funny because obviously this came out first and like almost exactly 10 years before. And it just made me laugh because I was like, there's no way, but like, it feels like Endgame stole this idea.
Yep. From this movie. They stole from their own property.
From their own. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? Maybe they were watching. I don't know.
Yeah. They love the Minutemen. The snow suit, guys.
I also think they were in the same lunchroom as Read It and Weep.
Oh, definitely, potentially that. And then I think that Steph's room might have been Gabriella's room.
Oh,
because of the like landing that they climbed, both men in their respective movies.
Cool. Nice. Okay. Yeah. I wrote chill. I'm out of here. It's like I walked into a chocolate contest. Oh, at one point Zeke says something smart and he goes, and they both look at him like they're shocked. And he goes, yeah, Mongo Reed. the vice principal at one point goes, what am I going to do? Stop how high school works?
Yeah.
And then this line made me so angry. At one point, the like cool guy who's like a jerk goes, Jocelyn's hot, but she's a total bottom feeder.
Hate that.
Yeah. I also wrote the die faster, get more acne line. Yep. I hear the medium height guy is devilishly handsome and hilariously funny.
Oh, I was going to write that down and then I didn't.
I just thought medium height guy. Medium height guy. Perfect.
Yep.
Oh, so good. Need I remind you that we are Minutemen, not Weenie Men.
Oh, the Weenie Men.
Global warming. He's really freaked out. Great. Well, I'm ready to go to Spoiler City if you are.
Oh yeah. I've jumped into the time machine. Lost my top. Don't know where I'm
My top's in a different time
period. Different dimension. different dimension. Okay. It's the first day of high school. We've got our two best friends who are Jason Dolly and this other guy. And it takes me a while to figure out everyone's names in this. So we're going to just go with the names that I've written down until we find out their actual names. So we have two best friends and then a girl. And she's like, you're my two best guys. And the non-Jason Dolly guy is like nervous about football. And the girl is nervous about cheerleading. And Jason Dolly is like, guys, you're going to be great. It's the first day of high school. Everything's going to be fine. And then we get to the football field where he's the non-Jason Dolly is trying out for the football team. She's trying out for the cheerleading team. And Jason Dolly is there. And then this like 9-year-old on a cart that has a rocket on it is like wreaking havoc on the football field. And we find out that this is the non-Jason Dolly's guy, that's his neighbor, Charlie. He's like a genius. So he is like a 9-year-old who is a freshman in high school. He skipped a bunch of grades. He's super smart. And the non-Jason Dolly guy throws the football, knocks Charlie off of this cart. And then everyone rushes up to him. Jason Dolly, being the kind person he is, goes to try to save him, but then gets caught in the football huddle, and they pick them both up a la crowd surfing and cart them off the field. And then we find out Derek is non-Jason Dolly. This is Derek, who is his name. They put Jason Dolly and Charlie in cheerleading uniforms, and Jason Dolly's name, we find out, is Virgil. Hang them from this giant ram statue that they have outside of the school. This is how Charlie and Virgil meet. And this is a huge moment in this movie. Okay, I hope you all remember that. Then we get a 3 years later. Oh my God, a time jump. And you know what, Val? I'm so grateful we did not have a narrator for that. Mm-hmm. I just love the time jump. Okay, mm-hmm. So we find out that Virgil and Derek are no longer friends. Mm-hmm. Virgil smiles at his ex-best girlfriend, Steph, we find out her name is, the cheerleading one, and Derek and Steph are now dating. Mm-hmm. So cheerleader, football, dating, Jason Dolly no longer friends with them, but you can see that he still wants to have a friendship with Steph. He like misses her friendship. And then Charlie and Virgil at their senior year now are best friends. And so they sit at the same lunch table. They're at the nerd table. And he asks him, Charlie asks Virgil, Jason Dolly, to build something useful. He's like, we got to build something useful. And so they're like, okay, how are we going to build something useful? And then we get Nicholas Braun on a motorcycle. Vroom, vroom. I wrote that in all caps. So then Virgil is jealous of Steph and Derek, but he's just like chilling at the nerd table. And then the nerd girl comes in and she's like Bird Girl. Her name is Jeanette. I will go in back and forth between Jeanette and Bird Girl because I won't forget what her name is later. And Charlie doesn't like her because he's, quote, married to science.
She has a crush on him.
But she has a crush on him. And you know he has a crush on her too. He just says, like, doesn't know what to do.
Because he's 14.
Yeah. I wrote, he flirts with girl. When will I learn her name? Oh, so this is Jason Dolly flirting with Steph at the vending machine. And they laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And we find out that she likes math and she likes to go into architecture. She wants to go into architecture. And Jason Dolly likes communication. Oh, that was a funny line of like, how do I become a TV star without communication? And she's like, how do I become an
architect? Game show host.
Yeah, game show. So funny. That's the scene, Val, that I thought you were going to pick.
Oh, yeah. She says, how am I supposed to be an architect without going to calculus? And he goes, how am I supposed to go to become a game show host without going to communications?
Very funny. So then Charlie pulls Virgil out of class. He's like, oh my God, you have to get out of class. And the teacher like doesn't give a shit. And so it's because Charlie has discovered time travel. This now 13-year-old has discovered time travel. Virgil will help with the time machine, but they need a mechanic, someone who's good with their hands, but only if they can use the time machine for whatever Virgil wants. So he's like, Charlie, I'll help you, man. But one, we are only using it for what I want. And two, that's the only way I'm going to help is if you let me pick who. So then they choose Nicholas Braun. And I wrote, it's kind of giving 10 Things I Hate About You, Cameron, Michael, and Heath.
I love that we both thought of that.
No notes. They bring Nicholas Braun, find out his name is Zeke, to Virgil's house, and they have him look at the blueprints of the time machine. And we meet Amy, and she doesn't really important, so whatever. And then Zeke says it could work and that he'll help construct it. Not the president from Community is vice principal. And he was not helpful. But they were like, we need a room to construct this. And he was like too busy Googling to see, you know, if he, was too busy Googling to see if he gave them one or if they found one. I think they gave him a room. Val, did they give him a room?
Yeah. So basically what happened was the vice principal was trying to get something out of the vending machine while Chester was jammed into the vending machine. Mm-hmm. He wasn't trying to save Chester. He was trying to get a snack.
Food out of the vending machine.
And it wouldn't take his dollar. So Jason Dolly gave him four quarters and he did not exchange him for the dollar. He just gave him four quarters. So he essentially bribed him with four quarters.
Yep.
To get a room that was not even being used and hadn't been used since apparently the Nixon administration, because they like
have a picture of Nixon
cobwebs and there's a picture of Richard Nixon. I was like, I don't understand why this room, like, because Charlie specifically wanted this room because he knew it was like this big abandoned room. Right. And I was like, why did the vice principal say no in the first place? If like it was just this open room, but whatever. What was the name of the club that had
the Back to the Future Club?
No. The club before them that had like theoretically gotten the last spot was Future Fondueurs of America.
Oh, that's funny. I was too busy Googling about Community and then being wrong. Okay.
Anyway.
So then they have they're in the room that they got and they are doing a montage of constructing and their time machine works. But no one wants to be the first to try it. They're super nervous. So they send in their cat, Albert Feinstein, and it works. And then some guys in space, some space guys, not NASA, we find out, are getting like signals that something is wrong, but they don't really care enough to look into it.
They're seismologists.
There we go.
So they measure like earth movement and stuff.
And that's why Val does this podcast with me. And then Derek is ditching girlfriend Steph and Virgil comes in and he's like ditching her. And this is where she's like, my boyfriend's a cheesehead. And then they laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And they're laughing and then flirting. And we find out that they haven't been friends since 3 years at the beginning. The three of them have not been friends since no one stuck up for Virgil when he was getting put onto the ram when he was taken away from the football field. Once again, very important. Remember this. So they're going into the machine. They're like, we're going to time travel. They go into the machine. They're risking an explosion. They go in, the lights flicker. They come out and they're like, oh my God. So they went back a day and they like found out because the newspapers change in front of their eyes, a la Harry Potter changing newspapers. And Charlie is dancing. It's silly. And so then they're like a day behind. And so they go and play the lottery, but they have to be 18 to play the lottery. And none of them are 18 yet. So this random, if you ever have been to New Orleans and someone is dressed in like all silver being a robot asking, like dancing and like moving statue. There's one of those outside of the 7-Eleven and they're like, hey man, can you go buy us a ticket? And then they're like, we have to get back. Otherwise we're going to blow. And so then they're like, okay, here's their numbers. And I wrote, this is not going to be good. So then they give the next day's lottery numbers to the robot man. And then we see the science guys again. And the science guys are like, And the next day, the statue guy, we find out he won the lottery because they had the right lottery numbers. So then he's, you know, getting interviewed outside of the 7-Eleven. And then, so what is basically happening is they can only travel back like a day or by 10 minutes or by a little bit. So they don't time travel by lots of time, just short time. So then we find that their friend Chester, who was stuck in the machine, got his clothes stolen after gym class, after he was in the shower. And so he's walking around the school in a towel and then someone steals the towel and everyone's laughing. Vice principal isn't helpful. And so then they're like, oh, we should use the time machine to help save Chester. So they quote, we become the silent heroes to the uncool. Crazy. So then the Jeanette, the bird girl, wants to join the club. And then they all fight about it. They're like, and then they're like, okay, fine.
Because you need a guy in the chair.
Because none of them wanted to be the one to stay behind because someone had to stay behind. And so then she shows up and they're like, okay, well, you can be in our Back to the Future club time travel if you stay behind, which she does. And then she's like, you guys look like shit. You need a makeover. And so then she gets them because her dad has some sort of skiing, something, hiking.
He owns a ski store.
Owns a ski store. And she gets them like all white suits, hats, gloves, ski mask.
Goggles. Yeah.
And they look like little Yetis running around. And so then they go back in time and they see Chester's clothes have been stolen. And right when that happened, before he can go up and get laughed at by everyone and get his towel stolen, they bring him a new set of clothes. And this is not a set of clothes he would usually wear. This set of clothes completely changes his personality, which is why we say he was a little overacting. So then we go to the local burger stop and Eugene, the waiter, slips while giving his food to Jocelyn. Jocelyn is important. She's like the pretty other popular girl. And so then the Minutemen go back in time and prevent him from slipping. And like she gets covered in mop water and everyone's like, haha, this is so cool. So then we get a snowsuit guys montage. So no one knows they're called the Minutemen because it's hard to tell people what your new superhero name is. And so we're seeing like, who are these snowsuit guys and who blah, blah, blah. So we get a montage and then we find out that the school is after them because they are like kind of wreaking havoc. But then the seismic science guys are too, because every time they go back in time, it changes the rotations of the Earth's pole.
It causes an anomaly.
Anomaly. So girls whose name I forgot, who Virgil, her name is Steph, got into college and she like went up to Virgil and wanted to tell him. And she hadn't even told her boyfriend, Derek, yet. So telling. And then we find out that the reason that Charlie was able to get the time machine to work was because he stole from NASA to get the time machine to work. And so they have to lay low. He's like, we have to lay low. NASA's after me. We just need to not travel back in time right now. But then Steph broke her leg and Virgil wants to go back in time. And Charlie's like, dude, no, which means they're going to do it and it's going to be bad. So then they go back in time to stop her from falling off the top of the pyramid and breaking her leg, because this is important, because if she doesn't get this cheerleading scholarship, then she can't get into college or whatever. But then because they stopped her from breaking her leg, the vice principal was who is after the snowsuit guys gets in a car accident and the robot won the lottery runs into the vice principal, and then like an old lady on a bike is hits the robot car.
He's suing her
whatever. So he, Virgil, saved Steph and he said, she was like, thank you for saving me, and he goes, get out, as she's like saving him. And so she immediately knows that it's Jason Dolly. She immediately knows that it's Virgil. So that's someone who knows. And then with all of the newspapers changing and then all of the outcomes of the world changing, they are changing the outcome of things we never planned on. Crazy. So then Steph was like, I know who you are. And at the same time, she was going to say psychic. He goes, time travel. And she goes, oh my God. Then Chester, who now has this positive popularity, streaks at the football game and they lose the big game. But Steph, idiot, told Derek, and I wrote, I hate that so much. I hate that she told. That's why I gave this movie a 6, because I hate that she told Derek. So Derek was like, dude, go back and like change the game for me. Like, I got distracted by Chester streaking. Like, can you go back in time so that we win the game? Because that's how I'm going to go to college, because I need a football scholarship. I used to be your best friend. And then they go back. They change the game. Bird Girl watches the newspaper change in real time. And then Derek invites Virgil to the party. And so now Virgil's like, oh, I'm like kind of in the cool crowd. But then Steph and Virgil are flirting and Derek makes eyes at Jocelyn. And Charlie is mad at Virgil for even being at the party. So there's lots of drama happening at this party. Mm-hmm. Then the next day, Steph saw Derek kissing Jocelyn. Then the football field starts glitching. Val, can you believe? Mm-mm. NASA has now honed in on this high school. Okay. They know it's glitching. There's a black hole coming. Derek asks Virgil to go back in time to not have Steph see him and Jocelyn kissing. And I said, boo, tomato, tomato, tomato. Mm-hmm. Derek sucks. And Derek was kind of, Virgil didn't want to, but Derek was like bullying him into doing it. But then Virgil gets stolen by the FBI, which was so funny because they put him in the van and immediately go, put on your seatbelt. And I, DCOM's all about the safety, bike helmets. And he was about to rat out the boys, but they're already there. And we find out that after Apollo 11, the government invested in time travel. But that info was stolen recently by Charlie. Crazy. And they all get let go because they're like, if they're not going to tell us anything, we're just going to follow them. So the boys get let go from NASA. They all fight. And Virgil's being mean. And then Virgil decides to help Derek. Yeah, can you believe? That's insane. And bad. And then Charlie realizes they've created a black hole. So right when Virgil was like, yeah, I'll help you, they created a black hole. And so they run to the FBI and they have 4 hours until the end of the world. I wrote, LOL. We only got 4 hours to save the world. And of course, Val, because of course it would happen same night as a school dance.
Which is themed
50s. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. They're literally playing the song from the Back to the Future
scene. It's such a cute little homage.
It is. It's very cute.
And Virgil and Derek are going to be the ones to go back in time. So he's like, okay, Derek, like you can come back with me, stupid. But then Steph and Virgil went to the dance together because obviously Steph doesn't want to go with Derek because he was kissing Jocelyn. And they win a king and queen. Mm-hmm. And it's because Virgil went back and stuffed the ballot box, which was, I think that was funny. I think that was a cute little
one. Oh, it was very funny. And it was sweet because he said, well, you wouldn't have any problem, but I would. And then she was like, I'd vote for you. It was very cute.
It was cute. So Derek still wants to go switch the time, like go back in time. And everyone's like following them because they think they're fighting Derek and Virgil. They're like, fight. But then the FBI shows up by the machine and they're like, you gotta get this black hole in order. And so they have to get in the black hole with their remote pack to stop it from the other side of the black hole. Now, this is where we get to the interstellar part of the movie where I don't understand a thing. I do not understand how any of it works. Okay, this is the sequence of events. The girls say goodbye to Zeke, and the bird girl kisses Charlie, and then Zeke picks up Charlie because he didn't know how to react to getting kissed by bird girl. Steph says bye, but then Derek says bye, and he's like, yeah, good luck, man. Whole school outside watching. They're chanting, Minutemen, Minutemen. They go into the hole. The guys fly in from the sky into a park, and they fixed it. They did it. It's September 3rd, 2005, the first day of freshman year, the day and minutes of the incident with the rocket cart from the beginning of the movie. Virgil's like, oh my God, I could go stop my fate. They're like, dude, we have to stop this black hole. You can't just like go change your life. And so Virgil runs back to the field. He's about to like stop all of this from happening. And Charlie has a moment of convincing Virgil not to go back because it's Charlie's favorite day, because that's when Charlie became best friends with Virgil. And then Virgil sees it actually was Derek who instigated the guys to put them up on the Ram statue and put the lipstick on them. So he realizes that, I didn't mention this because I didn't think it was important at the time, that he lied saying, I tried to stop them. It was the seniors, when all of this time it was Derek's fault that he ended up getting put up there, which then he sees this. He heard Charlie. It changes his mind, and they're about to get stuck in the past, but they have to run a mile back to the park where the black hole is, and it's too far. But Virgil stole the rocket cart that Charlie made in the beginning to save them, and it was a very we're not gonna make it from Dinosaur the Ride in Walt Disney World and Animal Kingdom, because of course they made it. I knew we would. And then Cousin Greg goes, that's it. No more time travel. Very funny. And they find out what day it is. And the day is the day where she says, my boyfriend's a cheesehead. So we went all the way back to the beginning before they had even time traveled one time. And they run into the vice principal. He says nothing about it. They had gone back all the way. He sticks up to Derek for being a jerk. Zeke is now a ladies' man. The bird girl, Jeanette, gets kissed by Charlie. And he's like, dude, you haven't kissed her yet. And he was like, oh, shit. And then Virgil goes up to Steph and they say they like one another. And then Charlie jokes about teleportation and they go, no man. And that's the movie.
And honestly, I know you said you were confused about the time travel and like it's funny because also in Endgame, they like make fun of this kind of time travel. Like they say that this kind of time travel doesn't make any sense. I thought if you're following this string of logic, which is like you can go back in time and change the sequence of events that affect the future, right? If that's your argument, then what I don't understand is why they ended up in the past. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like
they didn't go back to the present. They went to their own past, in which case, theoretically, there would be versions of them already there.
Yeah, that's true.
And he even says at one point, did you just see me? Because like Virgil's not sure if there's another of him.
Wow.
And it's like, what? Like, so just forever, there's going to be two of you?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't like time travel. This. Mostly because I watched all three Back to the Futures and was like, this is getting out of hand. It's too much.
I was going to ask you if you'd seen Back to the Future because we could have done a have you seen if you hadn't.
No, I had seen it when I was doing a lot of emails at my old job. I would watch movies on the clock and I watched all three.
Nice. Well, it like the logic of the time travel stuff worked for me until the very, very last scene.
Yeah,
and then weird. I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Jason Dolly. Another thing that I thought about as you were talking is Jason Dolly and Chelsea Kane, who played Steph, mm-hmm. had really good chemistry.
They really did. I like them a lot.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
Super fun. Anything else you want to talk about before we play some bingo?
I don't think so. I think I'm ready.
Let's bingo.
Bingo. Let's travel forward in time and play bingo.
Ooh.
Whoa.
We're now in the future.
We're now in the future.
And now we're in the future again.
Whoa.
Now we're in the future again.
Belle, that's scary. Belle, you're freaking me out.
Well, you could argue that when I edit our podcasts, that I'm editing the past.
Belle, you're freaking me out. Okay, one hit wonder song. One hit wonder song. Did we count Allie and AJ last time?
No.
Because they have more than one hit.
Yeah, and so did Corbin. So.
Yeah, okay.
Breaking the fourth wall or looking into the camera. I didn't see any.
I didn't either. Mm-mm. It's not holiday themed.
Nope. Clunky metaphor. I mean, like the whole idea movie? That time travel, like the idea that you could actually rewrite your past, like,
yeah.
And that like the whole thing with like appending the order of things is not like the answer. It's just embracing who you are now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you'll create a black hole.
And I think that the time machine itself, exactly what you're saying, I'm just going to say it in a way that it'll make sense in my brain, of like, that's the metaphor of he regrets that day of freshman year so bad that he'll do anything to go back. And he uses the machine and he gets there and he realizes it's not worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm counting.
Yeah. For sure.
Cool. Parents who just don't get it. We don't meet any parents.
There are no parents in this movie.
Wow.
I know. One of the first ones ever.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. We meet little sister.
Yeah, we don't meet
and
parents.
She is so diabolically mean.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's so funny.
Cool non-parent adult. No, because I'm not
because
counting
he's not
the
cool.
vice principal
yeah,
on,
he sucks.
On principal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone too famous for a TV movie.
No.
Mm-mm. Not at this time.
Competition to resolve central problem.
No, not a competition.
Mm-mm.
A montage sequence. There were two.
There were. Cliche villains. Now, I guess you could count Derek, but I don't really think there's a villain in this movie. I think that it's
I think
sort
he
of
turns
like,
into one.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to count it, I'm fine with that. I think that what I like about this movie is they don't necessarily need a cliche villain to have an interesting story.
All right. I don't think we mark it. We're not marking a lot today. So I think let's just go for it and not mark it.
All right. Leaning into it.
Okay. Clothes or items you owned?
Guess what made an appearance?
Oh, no. The phone.
Yep. The phone. The VTech cordless phone.
Let's go, Val. That was too cool for school.
I couldn't believe they were still using it. I was like. Yeah.
No, it is in their prop department. They are picking that shit up.
Well, I was just surprised that they weren't using cell phones, but I guess like that was sort of the.
I guess I did have a cell phone. I got a cell phone in seventh grade.
Yeah, I had a cell. I definitely had a cell phone when I was their age. Like, yeah. I had a cell phone when I was, I got one when I got my driver's license.
Nice. Yeah.
When I was 16. So.
Okay.
Anyway, Rotten Tomatoes, 40 to 60. This one, I feel like not a lot of people know about this one or like talk about this one. So I'm, but it's like a solid movie. So I'm going to put it somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say 52.
Wrong. 67.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good. Good reviews.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Happily ever after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they meet their present selves and the world explodes.
When they got to the park initially, I was like, is that supposed to be Jason Dolly as like a kid?
That's what I thought too.
Okay, that was so confusing. They needed to not cast someone who looked exactly like him.
Agreed. Yep, I was so confused. That was a bad casting choice. Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Almost kissing.
There was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was an almost kiss when they were at the dance. But then there was real kissing, which we always say there has to be almost kissing before there's real kissing.
Right. But also that was like such a perfect almost kiss.
Yeah, it was.
Like they were leaning in and it got interrupted. And that's exactly what that square is really talking about.
Really about. Someone who became famous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cousin Greg.
Cousin Greg.
Betraying of one's real friends or values. I think, yes, for like a minute.
Yeah, he Jason definitely Dolly. Was team Derek, team popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, it landed on me for this one, Val, your childhood crush. Yes. Jason Dolly, hit me up.
Yeah, there were a lot of good looking boys in this movie.
Such a silly sentence from a 35-year-old woman. Cousin Greg was 20 at the time, so it's
man.
Okay. He was of age.
He was only a year younger than me at the time.
Okay, good.
So he
oh my
is.
My God, you were drinking when you were abroad.
What? Yeah, I turned 21 that fall.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously bad special effects or stunts.
The time machine.
Yeah.
Anytime they jump into it, they would like spin
around.
Yeah,
it was weird. Yeah, it was weird.
Disney Channel star, Jason Dolly.
Jason Dolly.
And she was on Jonas, which I would say is kind of being a star as well. But Jason definitely was with two TV shows and three movies.
For sure. Musical number. No.
Magic.
Science magic.
Oh, we're marking science magic. We are marking it. Yep. Science is the real magic. And if you haven't listened to our podcast from Genus or whenever we established this, science is the real magic and it counts.
Buy our merch. Someone says the title of the movie.
Yes.
Yes. Many times.
Many times. Scooby Dude.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. They figure that shit out. The government leaves it in their hands.
That's right. This is a very textbook Scooby Doo. I feel like. The heroes create the problem.
They do. They sure do. All right. Last but not least, the lead is a fish out of water.
No.
Well, Val, minute by minute, we made it. We have won. Bingo. It is our fourth row down. Clunky metaphor, montage sequence, almost kissing, Disney Channel star, and the heroes create the problem. We almost got two other ones if we had had a musical number or if our lead was a fish out of water.
Wow.
But alas.
Well, one's good.
But
one's good.
One's enough. All right. Val, you know what time it is. Game time. I haven't thought of a name. Let me think of a name. This name is called the time travel game. Whoa. Woo! Okay. Val, I'm going to give you a movie synopsis.
Okay.
And all of these movies are time travel movies.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a one sentence synopsis brought to us by AI for each of these movies.
Okay.
And if you can get the title of the movie, you'll get 1 point. And if you can get one actor in the movie, you'll get 1 point.
Okay.
If you need a clue, you can ask for either the title or an actor in the movie. But you then don't get those points.
Of course. Okay.
So then there are 7 movies. So you have a total of 14 potential points.
Got it. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Blank is a heartwarming romantic comedy where a young man discovers he can time travel and uses his ability to find love and happiness, ultimately learning to appreciate the beauty of everyday moments. Heartwarming romantic comedy.
Yeah, when you first said that, I thought of a specific movie, but I don't think that's what this is.
Okay.
Can I have an actor?
Rachel McAdams.
Oh, what's it called? About Time?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, I love that movie.
Yes, very
that's a
good
great
movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rachel McAdams, Rachel McAdams and Donald Gleason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very
and
good.
Donald Gleason is lovely in that.
Oh, he's such he's lovely in everything.
He is. They both are. Mm-hmm. Rachel McAdams was like the first girl I ever had a crush on.
Aw, she's so pretty too.
She
that's
is
a
so
good
pretty.
Choice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Blank is a gripping science fiction epic where a team of astronauts embarks on a perilous journey through a wormhole in search of a new habitable. Okay. Okay, I'm
Interstellar, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, okay, sorry. I couldn't even get there. I can't say what is it?
Habitable.
Habitable. Planet to save humanity from extinction. Yes, you get 2 points. Okay, this one might give it away, unless you don't know the movie. Blank is a mind-bending sci-fi thriller where hired assassins called loopers eliminate targets sent back in time until one looper confronts his future self, triggering a complex chain of events. 2 points for Val. Trying to finish it for everyone else, Val.
Sorry.
Blank follows a young man who discovers he can travel back in time to alter his past, but his attempts to fix things only lead to unintended consequences and chaos in his life.
I mean, that sounds like the movie we just watched.
It does.
Can this I have an actor?
This is a tough one. Yes, you get one actor because that's the only one that I knew in it. Ashton Kutcher.
It's not Butterfly Effect, is it?
It is Butterfly Effect.
Really?
Yes.
I've never seen that movie, so I didn't.
You guessed, and that's a great guess. Unless you're AIing me over there in your house.
No.
Okay, you're going to know this one. So let me get through it, Val.
Okay, I won't say anything.
Okay. Blank is a comedy classic where a cynical weatherman finds himself trapped in a time loop, reliving the same day over and over again until he learns to become a better person.
Groundhog Day, Bill Murray.
Yeah. 2 points. All right. And your last one, which is one of my favorites.
I think I know what it's going to be.
I think you do too. Blank is a romantic comedy where two wedding guests find themselves stuck in a time loop, navigating existential questions and forming a unique bond as they relive the same day repeatedly.
Wait,
Val's face dropped. We are not thinking of the same movie.
Wait, this is the last one, right?
This is the last one.
Okay, so I can say what I thought it was going to be. I thought for sure one of these was going to be Kate and Leopold.
Oh, great. Yeah, nope. I did not pick that one. It's Meg Ryan, right?
Yeah, Meg Ryan and Hugh Jackman. And Liev Schreiber is in it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a newer movie, I would say, within the last 2 or 3 years.
Can I have the title?
The title is Palm Springs.
Oh, of course. I saw this movie. It was great. It's oh my God.
You know his name?
Oh my God. Jesse Eisenberg. No. It's. Oh my God. SNL. And the woman is Italian name. She was the mother on How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you.
She was great. Farts. Why is Brooklyn Nine-Nine escaping me? I'm gonna kick myself. Wait. Don't tell me yet.
I'm not telling you.
Oh God, damn it! Jewish name. Oh my God. I'm going to kick myself the second that you say their names.
Yep. Ready? All right. Val gets no points for this one. Andy Samberg and Christina Milioti. She's so mad. But Val, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 points. That's better than 50%. Eight out of 14. Val, thanks for playing. And then play what I sang at the beginning again, because I don't remember how I sang it. So play that right now. Great. Val, what a fun time we had here.
This was great. This was a very nice time.
Well, Val, what are we watching next?
We are watching Camp Rock.
With a special guest. I'm rooting for everyone. We have a special guest. So I'm so excited.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
We're both very excited about our guests. We're both very excited that we've somehow already made it to Camp Rock.
It's crazy. We made it to 2008. Although yeah. We started this podcast did we start it in 2021?
2021. Like so early 2021.
Early 2021. We said that this podcast would take years.
And it is.
And it is. And I think that that's great. Yeah. I think we've
been going
correct.
For 3 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, Val, have a good until I see you next.
You too.
Thanks.
Have a good. Just a good.
Thanks. I'll do my best. And if I don't, I'll go back in time. All right. I love you, Val.
I love you, Al.
Bye, Val.
Bye, Al.
This podcast was produced by me.
And me.
And it was edited by me.
The music was composed by Michael McNally.
You can find us online at thetridentnetwork.com/decommentaries-pod.
And you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at decommentaries.
Decommentaries is a part of the Trident Network. To learn more about our videos, live shows, and other podcasts, please visit thetridentnetwork.com.
Disney Channel Original Movies.
Damn it, Allie.